Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday morning. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast, episode 74. Where has the time gone? And I'm looking forward to it. I have a very, very special guest for everybody today, a lovely lady by the name of Dawn Cady. And we're going to be chatting all about managing pain of any sort to help you crush it in life and work. So how are you doing, Dawn?
I'm good. How are you, love?
Good? Very, very well. Now, for everybody out there who doesn't know who Dawn is Australia's number one pain freedom coach. She's a developer of the multi-award-winning Neural Alignment Method and works with people all around the world to break the cycle of pain, enabling them to live better and work better without dealing with daily suffering. Dawn has had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Phil on the subject of chronic pain and has written several articles about it, and she's currently writing her own book. Come listen to Dawn's passion as she explains how to transform your relationship with pain. It's going to be a wow experience. So Dawn, how cool is that? Dr. Phil.
Yeah. He's a character, is Dr. Phil. He really is.
Ah, I used to grow up watching Dr. Phil. I used to love Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Is he still on the circuit, or what's he doing?
Yeah, so he's still on the circuit. But it was interesting interviewing him. Off camera, he's very quiet. Really, really quiet. It's almost like he's meditating all of the time. And then as soon as the lights and the camera's on him,
he's on.
It's like this. It's so bizarre to watch.
Cool. I used to watch him every day. I think it was like 4 or 4:30.
Yeah.
After school or after uni or whatever I was doing. And it was fascinating. How cool is that?
Oh, man.
So now, Dawn, tell us a bit about you that I haven't already covered. We'd love to hear more about you.
Okay. So I got into helping people with chronic pain because I suffered for like probably over 30 years, believe it or not. So it started when I was one.
Whoa.
Yeah. So ears, nose, throat, kidney, stomach, just all through my entire life up to probably about age 36, 37, I suffered immensely from chronic pain, diseases. So I decided that the only way that I could manage and live my life would be to learn how to heal myself. So I did.
Incredible. And so you went and you studied and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I didn't study the conventional medicine path, because what I realized with chronic pain and disease is the medical route, Western medicine, are extremely incredible and amazing at acute pain.
Right.
Incredible. So I have a car accident, you go to hospital, there are incredible operations, painkillers, you name it, incredible. But when it comes to chronic, they treat it as acute.
Right.
Completely different.
Whereas chronic pain can be a lifelong challenge.
That's exactly
a
right.
Lifelong condition. Wow.
Exactly. And you can't give a quick fix to it.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Because what I've learned through studying and helping thousands of people is when you have chronic pain, it's not just happened overnight. So like a car accident impact happens straight away. With chronic pain, it's something that's happened a long time ago, and it's just manifested to the point now that your body's starting to break down. So something has to change in your life.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So that's what I teach people, is finding what has actually caused this. How can we change this? How can we get your nervous system in a place that it can heal and repair again?
How amazing. And I want to get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, exactly what that is and how that works a little bit, because I think it's fascinating discussion and I've got loads of great questions around that. But what's really interesting to me is that this is something that kind of flies under the radar a lot, is that unless we really have chronic pain, we know of someone close to us suffering from chronic pain, mm-hmm. we really don't know the extent of how that affects their daily life.
That's right.
So, maybe give us a little bit more of an insight into how that actually affects people's lives, because you deal with this on the forefront every day.
The interesting thing is we've been programmed as non-pain sufferers. We've been programmed that when an accident happens when you're younger, the worst thing that can happen is that you break a bone.
Yeah.
And it takes 6 to 8 weeks for a bone to heal.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're programmed from the age of, say, 11. That's the last time that we're actually fully installed with programs and beliefs and stuff. So then what happens is we go, how can they still be in pain? It's 8 weeks now. Like, seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
So you shut down and you can't empathize anymore.
Yep.
So then you avoid the person because you don't know what to say to them, or you're sick of hearing them.
Yeah, yep, yep.
You can't empathize because you don't have the program to understand.
You don't have that frame of reference, so you don't have empathy towards it.
No. And the first thing that I work with people in the pain clinics, because I've got pain clinics as well with workers' compensation, is I say, look, you can't be upset with your friends and family.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't help it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you give them that understanding, that knowledge, they're like, oh. And for the friends and family, I say, don't beat yourself up. It's not easy to imagine what it's like being in pain all of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Everybody's so kind of suffering in silence because they don't want to bring that burden to their loved ones and their friends and their close contacts and workers and whatever.
Yeah. So then they shut down and then they suffer psychologically.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings me to my next question is, how much of chronic pain is psychological and how much is physical?
Interesting question. They say that once you've had the injury or whatever has happened to you, generally it's something small for most people.
Right.
It's just something small that is just the cherry on top of the cake. They say that after 3 months, if you're still in pain, that's classed as chronic.
Right.
Okay. So they say physically in the medical world that if you have still got pain after 3 months, then it must be coming from the brain.
Right.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting, is it's not that you're making the pain up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I struggled with, because it was never explained to me, Darren. They just said, it's in your head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, few swear words. Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
How on earth am I making this up? I am not making this pain up. This pain is there and it is there and you're not making it up. However, this is where it gets really interesting. Your brain is what dictates whether it's painful or not. Your body just sends a signal, there's damage, and your brain dictates whether it's an it should it hurt or not. And the reason why it does that is to protect you.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So what happens is you then have this pain and it's looping, and then as everything, it creates a pattern.
Yep. And so you get this neural loop that just keeps on telling the same story.
Exactly right. To make you function more efficiently, it goes, oh, okay, so we want pain every day because you've had it for 90 days.
Oh no. And so do you actually call that psychosomatic or not?
There is a psychosomatic component to it, but the thing is, it's how the system's programmed.
Yeah.
It's how, so the psychosomatic component of it is that when you feel into the pain, there's generally emotions behind the pain because of what happened to you, your story. And when you hold on to that, then it's psychosomatic.
Gotcha. So psychosomatic is, I'm just thinking out loud. So psychosomatic is kind of when you will it on yourself in a way. But chronic pain could be you've fallen into a neural loop because of physical pain, but it's just never gone away.
That's right. And you can end up creating psychosomatic because it's so intense and it's there all the time that you start preempting the pain.
Exactly. And then the psychosomatic cycle takes over.
Yeah, that's right.
Gotcha. Wow, it's fascinating stuff. So really, you know, anyone with chronic pain has had some form of physical source to cause the neural pathways to start firing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep. And then they just don't stop firing.
That's exactly right. If you don't know how to stop them from firing, they'll just continue and then your body will break down and then you'll end up how I did with 3 autoimmune diseases and disabled.
Oh, my God. And so yourself now, after so many years, you know, you've managed to really change your life.
I have. The medical world won't recognize it, but I've reversed my 3 diseases. I have no sign of disease, no symptoms, no nothing, no impact in my life, and I'm completely pain-free. and I have no limp.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. Wow. And so tell us more then about, you know, this obvious, you know, neural alignment method that you, this is how you did it. You've created this yourself and you've now trademarked it.
Yeah.
And this is how you help your clients.
That's right. And do you know what? It's really, really simple. And it sounds so complex and complicated, but it's so simple. Yeah. It's neuroplasticity. You've got to rewire your brain. And when you hear that, you're like, what? Rewire my brain? Yeah. Neuroplasticity? What do you mean? You're going to open my head up and start rewiring? It's not. It starts with catching yourself. So the language that you're using is extremely important. And a good example of this was how I recognize and put this into a method. I would wake up on a morning and I would preempt my pain before it comes. I'd go, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. And one day I just thought, you know what? I'm going to slow that right down. And I slowed it right down and I said it before the pain came.
So you just wake up in the morning and you say, today, no pain.
You've got to bridge the gap because you don't believe it. So you just be like, I have no pain, and your body's giving you pain, and you've got, and your mind's going,
I was wrong, I got pain.
Yeah, your brain's going, you're a lunatic, are you kidding me right now? You are in pain.
How do you do that? How do you train yourself and really tell your brain, no pain today?
What happens is it starts off with bridging the gap. So you might have heard of affirmations, but it's not affirmations that I'm amazing, I'm wonderful. It's affirmations saying, you know what? Today's going to be better than it was yesterday.
Okay. Yep.
It starts with that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then you rewire your brain and your brain goes, oh, it's going to be better than yesterday.
Right.
But you have to get to the cause of what is creating the pain. You see, pain is the body's way of letting you know there's something wrong. It's an alarm system. So there's generally something that needs to change. And if you don't change that, you'll just end up back in pain again. So it doesn't matter what you do, rewiring your brain, if you don't find out what's going on.
Yep. I love it. So this is a game of mindset and psychology now, really.
Absolutely. 99% of chronic pain is psychological.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how easy is it for someone to actually put this into practice, and how long does it take, and what are the obstacles? What are the challenges?
Okay. So everybody's completely different. I've had people in maybe 2 or 3 months completely be able to communicate with the body, have rewired the brain, understand what's going on, and reduce the pain 60%.
Wow.
Then some people, it takes 12 to 18 months because this gets in the way.
Right. Yeah.
This says there's no way.
Trap.
Yeah, so the obstacles are, I'll never be pain-free. This is just my life. This is how it is.
Yep.
My doctor said to me, I'll never get out of pain.
Mm.
I've had surgery, so therefore my back is completely stuffed.
Yep.
It'll never get better.
Yep, yep, yep.
So you're saying to your body, you're never going to improve, you're never going to get any better, therefore the mind doesn't instruct the body to go and heal.
Yeah, so it's all this negative talk is not really doing anybody any favors.
Nope.
Yep. Wow.
Really isn't.
And then where does medication fit into this? Like, if you're in this process of trying to rewire your thought process and rewire your sensitivity to pain and your, you know, the awareness of pain, do you still take painkillers along the way, or do you try and alternate, or try and reduce them a little bit, or how does that work together?
Well, I was actually addicted to painkillers. I had a massive problem with them. It was a form of escapism.
Yeah.
Didn't want to live the life that I were living. So if I took the painkillers, then psychologically I'd shut down and I'd be numb. So I didn't need to feel or experience anything.
Yeah. And painkillers are strong, and they affect your mental state, the strong ones anyway. So you're almost like walking around, you know.
That's right.
And
That's exactly right. And I was on 13 opioids a day.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I was completely out of it.
And cloud nine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the first thing is to recognize that I'm not a slave to the painkillers. I actually have a choice.
Right.
And I'm choosing to take the painkillers because, you know what?
Yep.
I'm not a martyr and I'm not going to suffer through it.
Yep.
That's the first thing, is to recognize that you have the power to make the decision. Yeah. Once you claim back your power from that, then you don't have an addiction to painkillers.
Right. Yep.
So it's reclaiming your power back.
And so then you start telling yourself, okay, today, instead of taking 13 opioids, I'm going to take 10. I'm just going to slowly back and tell my brain, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it.
That's exactly right. I'll actually share with you what I did, if that helps.
That'd be great. I'd love to hear that.
So I noticed again, so slowing it down, that's the key, is slowing it down. It's called mindfulness, but I like to say just slowing down.
Yeah.
Just recognizing exactly what you're doing, because 90% of the day is from subconscious patterns and you don't even know that you're doing it.
True.
So I would walk into the kitchen and I'd open up the drawer and I'd look at the medication and I'd go, okay. I'd pull my hands back. So instead of going in and getting the medication, I'd pull my hands back and go, is there another way before I go for the painkillers? Is there something else that I can do?
Nice.
Sometimes it was breathing, sometimes it was walking, sometimes it was just simply getting a glass of water.
Right, I like that.
Then I'd go do that, and then I'd go sit back down, and the urge would come again. And I'd go back to the drawer, I'd open up the drawer, and I'd open up the packet, and then I'd go, oh, I'm doing it again.
Yep, I like it.
Put the packet down again, and I'd go, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? I want to escape. Okay, that's interesting. I want to escape from my situation. That's why I want to take them. Do I still want to take them now that I know that it's not actually for the pain?
Yeah.
It's actually because I want to escape.
Nice.
Then the next step was using this weird technique. So this technique is called emotional freedom technique, and it's really weird. Just Darren, it's weird. Like, it looks so strange, but my God, it changed my life.
Right.
And I would do this. I so want to take them painkillers. I can't wait to get them down my neck. I just want to escape. I just want to escape. I don't want to experience this anymore. I am sick of feeling this way. This goddamn pain is taking over my life. And I just vent exactly what was spinning around.
And why do you do this? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll explain it to you. What happens is when you vent your emotions and you vent your thoughts and allow them to come out, then you're not giving the power to the drug.
Right.
Okay. So by venting what you're saying, you're not giving the power to the drug and you're allowing yourself to say what you really want to say.
Uh-huh.
And this separates the brain and the body. Okay. So what happens is the part of the brain called the amygdala, the stress response, you're separating the amygdala and you're separating the nervous system. And you go into the body, it's okay, you're safe. So this is what this is. It's okay, you're safe. And it switches you back to the parasympathetic nervous system, which is where your body heals.
Like an assurance, a reassurance mechanism.
Yes. And what happens is you're almost hypnotizing yourself. So it's self-hypnosis.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
And then what happens? Your mind can just say what the hell it wants.
Yeah.
So it comes out with all sorts of stuff because they're not fighting for your attention.
Yep, yep.
And then after that, the body says what it wants to say. I'm sick of you taking these painkillers. Will you please stop?
Yeah. I just love that. I think that's so interesting because this can be really used for anything, any type of addictive behavior. You could use the same technique.
Absolutely.
Because you're just being mindful of what you're doing at all times. And you're saying, do I really need to take the medication right now? Or can I hang on? And it's not that bad. And then slowly, slowly, you're tricking your brain into changing the way it fires those neural pathways to the point where at a certain time, it'll just stop bothering. In a way, it won't fire anymore because you've kind of trained it to say, it's okay, and it's really don't need to, it's not that bad. And then it actually gets better and better and better to the point when you'd actually wake up and you're not feeling anything.
That's exactly right. That's how you heal yourself.
It's incredible. And so how did you come up with that? You just did that instinctively.
No. So what happened was I went through a really challenging time. In the space of 10 days, I was told by 3 specialists in their field that this was my life.
Oh.
they wasn't going to do anything about the addiction, their answer was go see a clinical psychologist. They all said, we're discharging, there's nothing we can do, I'm really sorry, but you're disabled, and that's it. And I'm like, the first time I heard it, I was like, nah, I'm not accepting that. The second time I heard it, I was like, well, my physio will help me through. Then I went to go see my physio, and he turned me around and said, I think it's in someone's head.
Wow.
And I ended up having a nervous breakdown. That's why I do what I do, Darren, because I've seen that if you're not believed and you're not heard and you're not supported, no matter how strong you are, it'll take the strongest person down. I was a very strong person and it took me down. Mm. I ended up having a nervous breakdown and then became suicidal.
Oh, God.
And I slipped when I was pregnant. Yes. That's what happened. So I had a 16-month-old boy. And I was addicted to painkillers, housebound, and I'd just been told by three specialists who I was relying on to help me get out of pain. And this is why I teach people how to heal themselves, because when you give your power away to someone else, it's pretty much impossible to heal yourself.
Yep.
It's pretty much impossible to get out of your circumstance, because you're giving the responsibility and the power away to someone else. And when you do that psychologically, it's damaging.
Right. Wow.
So from that, I basically went into this tailspin, and something inside of me just said, look, if you're going to end your life, look at it logically. Someone is going to find you, you're housebound, your husband is going to find you, and he's going to catch you before it happens.
Yep.
So that can't be done. What if your son finds you?
Oh, God.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't damage his life. So I decided that day, said to myself, okay, so that's choices off the card. So there's two choices here. I choose to live a life of resentment towards my little boy.
Yep.
Because I'm having to live a life of pain and suffering.
Mm.
Or I decide that I am not going to be living like this and I'm going to heal myself.
Wow.
And I knew the first choice wasn't the smartest.
Yep.
Because it's not fair to blame a child.
No.
I knew that deep down inside, but I also knew that if I gave up and I didn't heal myself, I would. Wow. Unknowingly.
Yep.
So I said, just bloody help me, because I can't live like this anymore. And then half an hour later, I get an email, pain-free, learn a technique that helps people become pain-free. And I'm like,
and so where did you get this email from? Where did this come from?
Just randomly appeared.
I have no idea. I don't know what.
No idea. I have no idea where it came from. And I just went, okay. I asked for help.
I'll take it.
I'll take it. I don't know if there's a God out there. I don't know if someone's listening, but you know what? I am not a stupid person. I am going to get that course and I'm going to, and that
is And so that's the technique you used of being mindful and the touching the face technique.
No, the mindfulness is stuff. So I've studied over 120 different tools and techniques. So the neural alignment method is made up of 120 best tools and techniques in the world.
Whoa.
This one is just one of the techniques, which is just pretty much saying what's going on. The mindfulness is another step. Yeah.
Wow. So you've put together this program and you've trademarked it.
Yep.
And do you sell this, or do you work with people all around the world? You've provided this and this solution to loads of people and they all know about it.
That's right. Yep.
Wow-wee. Unbelievable, Dawn. And so tell us a bit, or how did you even get to meet Dr. Phil and tell your story to Dr. Phil?
Oh, so I had a business coach. He's actually still my business coach. I don't know why I said I had. And I spoke to him and he was like, what a story. My God, people need to know about this, Dawn. He said, let me speak to a friend, because I know someone who knows Dr. Phil. And I'm like, what?
Incredible.
He's going, yeah. He opened one of the first pain clinics. And I'm like, what? He said he opened one of the first pain clinics in the US.
Right, so Dr. Phil had, at that point, had just opened up one of the first pain clinics in the US.
So that was back in, I think he said it was back in the mid or late 80s. He'd opened up the first pain clinic in the US. So he was like, you need to speak to Dr. Phil because he knows about pain.
Isn't that incredible? I didn't even know that he was specializing in pain. You know, I thought he was doing other stuff.
Yeah. So when, yeah, it was, I'm sure he said it was like the mid 80s that he said that he set up his first pain clinic. And it was one of the first in the US.
Right.
Incredible. Yeah. So we had a good old chat about how to manage pain and stuff like that. And it was like, interesting. I like what you're doing. It is weird though. I know.
And so you went and you told him about your story and then after you told him more, did he still think it was weird? Or he said, oh, yeah,
it's good. he was like, I don't imagine myself doing it. Right. That's what he said.
How funny is that? I love it.
Yeah.
Wow, wait, that's insane. That's incredible. And so I'd love to hear a story or two, maybe a case study that you can walk us through of maybe one of your patients, you know, obviously being confidential, but just telling us a bit about what it was like at the beginning. Mm-hmm. How you moved them through that process, mm-hmm. and where are they now?
Oh, God, there's so many. Okay, so I had the first one that pops in my mind, I'm trusting that this is the perfect one to share, was a guy that was pinned against the wall, not by a truck, by a pick-a-packer, you know those?
Those forklifts.
Forklift, that's it. He was pinned by a forklift, and he had damaged three parts of his spine. So he had to have, I think it ended up he had four spinal fusions.
Oh, God.
And he was with a walking stick. And this happened in 1997. And he came to see me in 2018.
So for that many years, he was in chronic pain and on medication and just said, that's my life and that's the end of it.
That's exactly right. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because it just shows it doesn't matter how long.
Yeah.
The second reason why I'm sharing it is because he'd got to a point where he was like, I'm done.
Right, yeah.
I don't care what weird stuff you need to do.
Yep. I'll eat anything, I'll do anything, I'll drink anything.
Exactly. And that's the secret. You have to be at the point where you go, you know what? I'm done. This is not working. Yep. You have to have an open mind because some of it is going to challenge you.
You have to be ready to submit 100%.
You do.
Yep.
Absolutely. And he was at that point. And the other thing that I want to share is he had the nocebo effect. So what the nocebo effect is, placebo we know about, the test to do double blind studies, sugar pill. Sometimes to do it with operations. Yeah. Nocebo effect is where you've been told by the medical community, by doctors, by whoever has been treating you, that you're never going to get any better.
Oh.
And it's like a web.
Yeah.
And it becomes so entrenched in someone that on this hand, they're like, I'll do anything. I want to get out of pain. Da, 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 da. Yeah. And on this hand, it's like, it's impossible. It's never going to happen. Yeah.
And that's the problem, because even when you're told that,
yeah,
it really, you really have to be at wit's end to actually submit 100% and say, I'm ready, because you're in the back of your mind, you're always hearing those doctors or specialist voices saying, you're never going to get better. So you believe it.
Exactly. What else have you got to believe? We've been programmed and told that the doctor knows more than us. They've studied for 7 years plus. Mm. They know your body more than you. The truth is, no one knows your body better than you do. You've just not been taught the tools and the techniques on how to communicate with it. And they're very simple.
Yep.
That's it.
Wow. And so you started working with this person, and
yep.
How are they doing?
So basically, he came and the practice that I had at the time was lots of stairs up and down. And I'm like, well, I don't know if you should come to that practice. Maybe you should come to my other one, which is 45 minutes away. And he's like, no, I'll come. Came with a walking stick. It took him 10 minutes to get down my steps and up the other steps.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, I feel really bad for this guy. And I'm like, are you sure you don't want to come to the other practice? He's like, no. He said, because I've got it in my head that you're going to help me walk up and down these without a walking stick.
That's incredible.
3 months later, he walked up and down the steps, and he did it in less than a minute.
Without a walking stick.
Without a walking stick.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. And has he still come to you for, you know, some kind of maintenance therapy or not needed anymore?
Nope. He's set his own business up. He's moved to Victoria. Oh, and he is now using excavators.
Yeah. Incredible, Dawn. Yeah. That is one hell of a story.
Yeah.
Wow. So it just goes to show you, you know, when you're ready to submit 100% and just say, all right, I'm going to rewire because I have no choice.
That's right.
You can actually make it happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that was a process for this gentleman. Another case that comes to mind was a lady who I'm still seeing now called, actually, I won't share her name. I nearly said her name then. Sorry. This poor lady, her mum was at a wit's end, and so was this young lady who came to see me, and they were both like, you know what? We've tried everything. We think that we've got her to the point, best of our ability. No one else can help her. Can you please help her? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's have a go. Let's see what's going on. And we had a conversation, and what happened when she was 4, her mum was carrying her down a steep hill and rolled down the hill and damaged her daughter's leg. So her mother had this huge guilt that she caused her daughter pain. Her daughter is 32 years of age and still suffering from that pain. She's had 7 operations with bone grafts. Horrendous pain to the point that it caused psychological damage, and she was deemed with bipolar, OCD, just an array under psychiatrists, sectioned, all sorts of psychological damage from this injury. And the interesting thing about it was, there wasn't, for me, there was nothing that was actually going on psychologically.
Yep.
It was just that the pain was so much bigger than her that she'd surrendered to it.
Yep.
And when you do that, that's when the psychological damage comes, because you are giving all your power away to the pain.
Yeah.
And when you give your power away to the pain, that's when you're going to the
when you're vulnerable psychologically, when you just relinquish all your power.
That's exactly right. And you're just swimming in this cesspool of fear.
Yeah.
Oof. Life is too hard. It's too difficult. So then you go on drugs. I kind of get it myself. You go on drugs just to escape it because it's so uncomfortable. Oh, wow. So this young lady had a bone graft, her final bone graft, they believe now. And she's had a walking stick for the last 15 years. No walking stick.
Wow.
She wouldn't be able to sit down because the pain in the leg, she can now sit down. She can now stand up and cook a meal on her own, which she could never do before because of the pain.
Yep. And this is all done non-pharmacologically, just by teaching people how to rewire their thinking.
Rewire their thinking so the body can heal.
Insane.
That's it. Incredible. The body just wants to heal. When you cut yourself, what does it do? You don't get in there yourself and start healing it. It does it itself.
Yeah. And so what do medical practitioners or specialists say when you tell them about what you do and all these stories? What do they say?
Let me take a drink. What do they say?
Yeah.
I've been marched out of rooms. I've been told that I'm a charlatan. Impossible.
Yeah.
There's no way. And then I've had some who have gone, do you know what? I've tried everything. I can't help these people. And I'm going to give you a try. And they do it once and they're like, oh my God. Like everything that I'm doing, especially the exercise physiologists and physios, they're like, everything that I'm doing is making it worse.
Right.
But as soon as I start coming to see you, they're coming in and suddenly the exercises are helping them. The treatment that I'm doing is actually working.
Incredible.
Yeah. So I've had a few names hurled at me.
Mixed feelings. Mixed response, shall we say.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, we've been told that we can't heal our body. We're we give our responsibility of our body over to someone else. And I say to my clients, I say, you know what? There's one thing that you have control over in this world, and it's your health.
Yep.
You have no control over anything else. You can't control people. Yep. You can't control if you're going to have an accident. But what you can control is your health. It's your responsibility. And when you take responsibility, you reclaim your power back. Yeah. When you reclaim your power back, you can use that energy to heal yourself.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
So it's really, I mean, what I'm getting from this really is everything is so much about the mind and how you use your brain, your mind, your mindset, your thought process, your inner dialogue. You know, it's so important.
Yeah. So
and this can be applied to any sort of chronic or addictive style of behavior or, you know, situation, really.
Yep, sure can. Self-worth, anything that is stopping you from living your best life and being you and turning up and going, you know what, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Because you should be.
Yeah. Just out of interest, do you take on other issues or you just specialize in pain?
I have an array of people who come and see me. So there's chronic pain, there's disease, there's illness,
awesome.
Anxiety, depression, PTSD, all sorts of things.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it all boils down to the same principle.
It's all the same.
Wow.
It's the same methodology to heal. It doesn't matter. The end result is just a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody expresses symptoms differently. Some people it's migraine, some people it's back pain, some people it's anxiety, depression, PTSD.
Yep.
Pain is pain, it's just that we express it differently.
Yeah, good point.
It's all treated the same.
Yeah. Wow, you've totally opened up my eyes.
Good.
I'm never going to open up a drawer in the same way. Do I really need that? I'm never going to open up the fridge in the same way. Do I really need that?
Yeah. Oh my God, you can use it for emotional eating. You so can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Dawn, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure and it's been absolutely fascinating. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I do have a Facebook group, which is free. And every 2 weeks I give you an amazing tool or technique to work.
Awesome.
So that's a good way to connect with me. So that's healyourself.dc.
Okay, great.
Yep, so that's a Facebook group. You can go on to alleviatepain.com.au. Okay. And for your guests today, Darren, I have got a link.
Hey.
So it's alleviatepain.com.au/gift for you. And what this is the first step that I take people through in my pain clinics.
Love it.
And it's a meditation. Now, it's not any old meditation. It's 3 minutes long, twice a day.
Yep.
And it's a full program. So you have a diary and a video explaining how it works and the three minute meditation. And what this does is it helps your mind to release the anxiety.
Gotcha. Love it.
And that's how you start.
Love it. I love it. I'm going to go check that out. And I'm going to put all those notes and links in the podcast notes for everybody out there. Outstanding. And Dawn, I always like to ask my guest at the end, what would you like to leave us with today in terms of, you know, one or two tips and tricks that we can use, even if it's just in the way of a mindset,
yeah,
perspective change or anything practical that will help us on our journey in life?
Absolutely. The first one, when you feel stress and anxiety coming up, you just put, and you'll have seen this, when you're stressed, you do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this.
Put your hand there and put your other hand at the bottom of your neck and your head and breathe in exactly what you want to feel.
Right, let's just try. So that way and that way.
Yeah, so breathe in exactly what you want to feel and breathe out what you don't want to feel.
Okay.
So you want to breathe in calm.
Yeah.
And breathe out stress.
Okay.
Do that 12 times. You'll completely change your chemicals in your body and your emotional state.
Why do we do this? Is that because it does something to the diaphragm or the oxygen or something like that?
Yeah. So the first thing that you're doing is you're actually speaking to your mind and saying, I'm wanting to feel like this. Uh-huh. Then it creates the chemicals that go into the body and the body then goes, oh, okay. So we want to feel like this, do we?
Gotcha.
And when you're breathing it out, you're allowing what you don't want to feel to leave. You're inviting it to leave your body. So it's, again, like a form of hypnosis.
Yeah, yeah.
And the deep breathing, so the deep breath through the nose, switches on the parasympathetic nervous system.
Yep.
Which is the one that helps you heal and repair.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, that's a fantastic tip. I think everybody can, you know, learn a bit of that. So we'll all be in the office doing this.
Stress.
But Dawn, it's been an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate you coming on the show and, you know, telling your story and sharing us, you know, some of the great stories of your patients and all your knowledge and your time with Dr. Phil. How cool is that? So really, you know, really thank you for coming on, and it's been a fantastic discussion, and I wish you all the very, very best in your practice.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure, Darren. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. So for everybody out there, I hope you've learned as much as I have, and I'm going to put all the notes, all those links to the notes, so you can contact Dawn and get access to all those free tips and tricks and everything that she does on the Facebook page as well. So have a fantastic day. Great one, positive, and we'll see you very, very soon for another episode of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. Bye for now.